Thank you very much. I ask the witness to answer only to the matter that he thinks he can answer, because some other witnesses may answer to some other of the questions which have been raised today. Yes, first of all, Jean Bricmont, and then you answer to the two questions of the prosecution.
Can I just have a point of order? Could I have a point of order?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. The prosecution just more or less directed its comments to the commission, and I thought that only questions would be directed to witnesses at this time, and that the prosecution would have an opportunity to sum up at the end of the tribunal and make its arguments to the commission. And there were a number of statements made which I felt reflected a misunderstanding, probably through my fault, of what we were presenting earlier. But I would like to reserve that until the end of the proceedings rather than with each witness.
Thank you very much. I think you are right, Mr. Dobb. I ask all the people asking questions to pinpoint the questions on the witness and reserve perhaps some other comments for later on.
Yes, I have an objection to implicitly what I think you said. I mean, maybe not very explicitly, but you do a very valuable work of, you know, finding all these links between people of the PNAC and the administration and various capitalist enterprises. But the question is, how meaningful is it and how significant is it? How much is it a cause of the formation of their ideology? And I think you have not made the case that it's all that important. You see, in a capitalist society, of course, people who want to have influence will have to ally themselves with capitalist enterprises, and there will be a sort of censorship that the capitalists have on which ideas get put forward to the public through the media and through the think tanks, because they control the think tanks. I mean that if you take somebody like Wolfowitz, which is one of the main architects of this policy intellectually, all you find about him is that he's been a former consultant for Northrop Grumman. Now, I have a portrait of Wolfowitz given in the Move On in the documents of the site Move On by Kathleen and Bill Christison, who characterize him in two ways. One is obsessively bent on advancing U.S. dominance throughout the world, ruthless and uncompromising, seriously prepared to end states, as he once put it, that support terrorism in any way, a velociraptor in the words of a former colleague. The other, a softer aspect, which shows him to be a soft-spoken political moralist, an ardent Democrat, even a bleeding heart on social issues, and desirous for purely moral and humanitarian reasons of modernizing and democratizing the Islamic world. Another person describes him as over-the-top crazy when it comes to Israel, but several members of his family perished in the Holocaust. He lived in Israel when he was young. His sister is married to an Israeli, etc., etc. So how much does that weigh on his ideology as compared to the fact that he has been a consultant for Northrop Grumman? I mean, that's a non-trivial question to answer, and I think that I would rather agree with Jean Loeb when he said that it's the Jewish experience and an analysis, which I think is totally wrong, of the problem of the minorities, which guides the mentality of somebody like Wolfowitz far more than the money he can get by being a consultant for Northrop Grumman. And it seems to me that one has to address this question, because even though Jim Loeb is working for the defense, it seems to be that he has given a very good argument for the prosecution. Because the analysis that has been made of the defense of minorities, okay, the problem of the minorities, as incorporated in the Zionist imperialist ideology that is dominant in the PNAC, seems to me profoundly irrational, almost like a religious ideology, which is, of course, not driven by material interest.
Excuse me to interrupt you, but we have only 30 minutes to raise questions to the witness.
Raising the question, but I'm trying to formulate it in a way that underlines a different perspective, whether it's the material interest or some ideology. You see, to quote Russell again, the world would be much better if people were following their rational interests, but they are not. And the way to solve the problem of minorities, as the Zionists are doing in the Middle East, by ignoring the interest of the Arab majority, is, you know, a policy which is deeply irrational and not just linked to material interest. It's sort of like religious fanaticism.
Geoffrey Goins, can you answer to that?
Oui, je vais répondre à Jean Bricmont donc sur sa question. Sous le poids donc du facteur idéologique, à côté des enjeux stratégiques ou économiques, donc dans ce soutien, cette intervention militaire en Irak. Je répondrai plusieurs temps. Tout d'abord, l'un n'empêche pas l'autre. Le faire d'une pierre deux coups. Mettre l'accent, parce que c'est mes recherches, c'est là-dessus que je travaille depuis des années, parce qu'on me l'a demandé, sur les liens organiques, économiques, sociologiques entre élite politique et monde des affaires, n'exclut pas évidemment de prendre en compte le facteur proprement culturel ou idéologique de la classe dominante, des élites politiques, l'appellation qu'on veut, et la façon dont ces facteurs idéologiques ou culturels, comme l'histoire personnelle de Wolfowitz, peut avoir sur le soutien inconditionnel à la politique sioniste donc de l'État d'Israël et de l'actuel gouvernement Sharon, et sur le soutien ou l'initiative de cette guerre en Irak. Donc l'un n'empêche pas l'autre. Alors comment mesurer concrètement, puisque vous me le demandez, le rapport, à savoir qu'est-ce qui pèse le plus? C'est impossible de répondre à cette question. Je ne suis pas dans le cerveau de Paul Wolfowitz, je ne peux pas dire ce qui pèse le plus dans son programme politique et dans ses stratégies. Simplement, ce que je constate, c'est que tous les membres de l'administration Bush et tous les membres du PNAC et de ceux qui ont soutenu massivement cette guerre à un niveau politique important, qui sont à l'origine de cette intervention, ne sont pas tous d'origine juive. Et donc, ces facteurs sont probablement importants, mais à mon avis, secondaires. Ce que je peux mettre en évidence, c'est le fait qu'il y a un dénominateur commun entre politiques américains, mais c'est vrai que l'on pourrait le généraliser aux formations démocrates, même si, comme je l'ai dit, le niveau de collusion, d'une certaine façon, n'est pas le même, que ce soit quantitativement et qualitativement, mais il me semble que c'est là l'essentiel. Donc, par élimination, c'est là-dessus que j'insiste. Tout simplement sur les liens objectifs économiques qui existent entre l'administration et le complexe militaire-industriel.